Oh wow! What a chapter this was this week. And if you came and you didn't spend a lot of time with this chapter, yeah, it can change your life. This is a real deal changer. This is really it talks about being all in, and. I once was at a conference, and a woman came into me crying her eyes out, so crying so hard that her nose was running. And she said, "Debbie, I've been living my life with one foot in the world and one foot in God." And she said, "And it's hard." And I said, "Girl, give me a little eye contact. It is not hard. It is impossible. It is impossible." This book just hits the road running, and it really annihilates some of our false conceptions of life. You know, if God loved me, shouldn't he put me in a holy bubble? You know, I would vote for that. Truthfully, it'd be prettier. You know, truthfully, I feel like sometimes I'm living on the raggedy edge of life. But trials are the core of our lesson this week. And James, who Denise introduced us to last week so faithfully, was the half-brother of Jesus. But when he introduces himself, he would have none of that. He wasn't going to own some celebrity status other than, he said, "Who am I? I be the bondservant of Jesus. I'm the bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus." Lord, we do pray that you would speak to our heart, God, and you would annihilate some of the misconceptions that we have about life, about if you loved us, what you would protect us from. And Lord, that you always protect us in our trouble, so that we have holy confidence in you. And so we pray that you would speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. James, the bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing, please underline that word, knowing, holy confidence, totally convinced that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So then, if you do lack wisdom, if you do, and who doesn't, then where will you get it? Ask God. Ask God, who gives to all liberally. Sometimes I just think he's waiting for us. Is she going to ask? Is she going to ask? So happy you ask, because he gives liberally and without approach. He never says, "You loser, you should have got this the first time you went through that kind of thing. Now it's 554 times you're facing this trial." You know, never, never hesitate. The quicker you go and the more eager you go to God, then he's just on it. He loves you with the everlasting love. If God be for us, child of God, who can be against us? And sometimes we think, who isn't? Who isn't against us? But the credentials behind this, if God did not spare his own son, how will he not freely give us, the people of God, his own, freely give us all things? He's at the ready. He's at the ready. The storehouses of wisdom and strength and courage are just waiting for us for the asking. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts or she who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. We're just wishy-washy. Wishy-washy. Ask God for wisdom. Ask him. For let not that man or woman suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. James. I just still am walking around that James. James, who are you? What was it like? Were you the second in line? And scholars believe that he was the second oldest. You know, so he was just one step behind Jesus. And yet, you know what? He must have felt like it's hard to keep up. You know, he always doing something right and the right way and at the right time. You know, so living in the shadow with perfection would have been a tough go at sometimes. So when was your turning point, James? Wouldn't you like to interview him? Like when did you come to faith? You know, if it didn't, you know, he wasn't at the foot of the cross. None of the kids were at the foot of the cross. It was Mary. Mary with the women at the foot of the cross. How do we know that? Well, when Jesus looked down and asked someone to take care of his mom, he asked John. So, James, when did you come to faith? Is it when the women saw Jesus and his resurrected body? Or is it when he came to you? When he came to you and you realized it's you, Jesus. He had his own personal encounter with Jesus in the resurrected life that he now lives. And that's for us. That's for us. Sometimes we can live on other people's faith. Sometimes we can run on empty or pretend to. We need fresh encounters with our living God. And it changes us. And he declared who he is now. He says, I'm a bond servant of Jesus. I am a bond servant. All in. No regrets. I am all in. I saw my brother walk it out, and I'm walking in the footsteps of Jesus. Change your life. When he writes this letter, I mean, he doesn't mince words. He's like bossy. He's just bossy. What attitude to have, how you spend your money, how you use your words. I mean, just rubber meet the road stuff. And you know what? We need that because there's just like all kinds of nonsense out there. And we need to just say, I'm not having that. I want the real deal. Bond servant is the way to live your life. And that gives him credentials. And he had a lot to say. He had a lot to say, and he just dives into trials. And he says, count it all joy. Well, right, sure. Yeah, I'm sure happy when everything goes wrong. You know, everything. When I got dressed this morning, I thought I was very strategic at what I wore. Because this outfit is like one of my favorites. Do you like this outfit? It's just so good. Yeah. Well, it's on the tail end of, you know, sometimes I just live day late and a dollar short. And I was, last spring, I had just a series of events. And, you know, packing suitcases. I was in Texas, and we had a hurricane. Did you remember that? Last spring, a hurricane. Well, a wannabe hurricane. So I got stuck in Texas, and I had a half a day to repack and get up at 4 and leave for the airport at 5 for a 6 o'clock plane to, I forget where, Idaho. So on the plane, I mean, it wasn't pretty. I was just throwing things in my suitcase, and I always take big suitcases of books. So when I sat down in the plane, I kind of inventoried. I did not distinctly remember packing, bringing my suitcase that had clothes or my suitcase that had messages, which I was now going to be delivering for, theoretically. Oh, no. Well, you know what? That would be one of those times that I take this verse serious. So, when the Southwest lady came with the cup of coffee, I said, "Could I have two napkins? I need to take notes." And I reconstructed all the messages. And when I got there, I don't dress up on a plane. And the retreat center was way in the boonies. I told the pastor's wife, is there anybody still coming through Boise that could go shopping? We called two single moms, and I told them my size, and I said, go shopping, buy everything you think I would like, and I'll return what I don't like and pay you for what I do. And they brought me this outfit. Is it the cutest ever? You know what the moral of that story is? All's well that ends well. You know what? Don't get so ruffled. You know, no one died. Actually, if I had worn my horrible outfit, you know, my old tennis shoes, my old sweatshirt, you know, no one would have died. I love Ann Wilson's new song. Do you know Ann Wilson? Let me tell you about my Jesus. She sings, he makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. My Jesus is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than we ask or think. And we need to tap into that source. That's the mother lode. Stop trying to live in your own understanding. That's just weak when you can tap into the source. And James is telling us that. And so we need wisdom. We need wisdom. And truthfully, we need trials. We need trials. We need testings so that we have a story. We have history with God. I fly a lot, and I usually fly out of San Diego. And as you know, we have Camp Pendleton, and we have San Diego where there's what? Boot camp. And one time I was on a plane, and I was sitting next to a young man, and he had a very short haircut, and so I like to have conversations on plane, and I said, so young man, where are you going? And he said, I'm going home. I said, were you in boot camp? He said, yes, ma'am, I was in boot camp. And I said, well, I bet you're excited to go home. He said, yes, ma'am. I said, when you were in boot camp, you know, in boot camp, do you know how hard it is? How hard it is? I mean, it's brutal. They brutalize these guys. On a rainy day today, you know, there's probably out there on the climbing those hills in the mud with a 100-pound pack on their back, pushing them to their very limits, so that when they're in the face of the enemy, when they're in the face of war, then they have the courage built up with reserves. They've been tested in the hard moments. And so I said, young man, when you were in boot camp, did you ever think about God? He said, ma'am, everybody thinks about God in boot camp. And he had a shirt on, and he had a pocket in his shirt. And I said, you know, I see you have a pocket in your shirt. And he said, yes, ma'am. I said, well, I've got a piece of the Bible right here. And I think that if you put this Gospel of John, it'd fit right in your pocket. He said, yes, ma'am, I think it would. And I said, if I give this to you, would you read it? He said, yes, ma'am. The whole world is hungering for a source that's bigger than them. Bigger than them. The testing of your faith. You know, we live down by the harbor, and every single one of the boats that are docked in the still waters of the harbor. They're anchored and they're tied to the dock. We need to be anchored and tied to the dock of our Lord. That's where our holy confidence should be. Yes, should be in that. James, the bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He allows no pain without purpose. None at all. When we shift our confidence to his love instead of the love and goodness of others, everything changes. And sometimes we are mad at other people that don't show up or don't show compassion or don't show help in our storms. But Corrie ten Boom said, you'll never know that God is all you need until God is all you have. We need to be tested in that so that we have a path worn to his presence. You know, we had a big storm, a rainy time like right now, a few weeks ago. And I have on my patio, I have a great big patio, and I have some rugs out there. Unfortunately, I did not take them out before the rain. And I had a big patio table with a big glass top, the glass top about inch deep. And I thought, I gotta get those rugs, out and drying, about a week ago. And so I had only like a half an hour to get it all done. And so I was pulling the table off from the rug. And all of a sudden, as I pulled it, it just tipped slightly and the huge glass top started sliding. It was like a bad movie. Like, no! As it fell to the cement and literally shattered so much that a huge piece came up to my hand and sliced down about an inch deep on my hand. My hand was full of blood. And pieces, when glass breaks on cement, it doesn't just break, it shatters like 15 feet in every direction. My first thought is, that was stupid. Second thought, oh no, I don't really have time for this, but I better make time. Because, you know, I just heard a statistic that glass is the only element in its existence that doesn't decompose. I don't know how they do the calculations on this, but they said a piece of glass would take 1 million years to decompose. They made that up because, you know, they never put that to a test, really. But I knew, see, I have a dog. And I knew if I didn't get every tiny little sliver, it would get in her paw, some little piece. She would limp and we would never know what was wrong. I mean, we wouldn't be able to figure it out. So I didn't have time, but I had to pick up all of those pieces. And then vacuum and sweep. It took me hours, but enough time to have a big conversation from God. First of all, God was saying, and I knew it was him, Debbie, you were just too much in a hurry. Well, my comeback was, well, actually, I'm always in a hurry. Right. Next thought, well, you should have asked somebody to help. Of course, my second thought, I usually don't. Yeah. This is where it went to another level, and I knew it was my Father God. He said, Debbie, and I'm about an hour into cleaning now, he says, if somebody else broke this tabletop, would you be taking this in the same wise, I can do this way? And you know what the answer was? between me and God? I said, absolutely not. God was calling me on it. And he used that moment to correct me. And sometimes, I'm just being honest, I can be impatient with others. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. And he is our Abba Daddy. And he corrects us. He stretches it. He teaches us. And sometimes it's through our very pain. But here's the temptation with trials. The temptation with trials. And let me go on. But let him ask in faith for this with no doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man or woman think he'll receive anything from the Lord. He's double-minded man in all of his ways. And we need to ask him for wisdom and then apply it, even in the hard way. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation. Because as the flower of the field, he'll pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man, someone that has all kinds of resources, will fade away in their pursuit. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been proved, he'll receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone himself. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed by his own desires. When desire conceives, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full blown, brings forth death. And sometimes in hard trials, we are tempted. We are tempted to blame others, to blame the circumstances, to blame others. And worst all, and this is where the Satan has that gotcha, to be bitter at God. To be bitter at God. And that temptation will scratch at our door. And all of us who are honest today could say, amen. I know that voice. I know that voice that says, if God really loved you, he would not allow this to happen. If he really loved you, he would have come through. He wouldn't let this happen. Or others, to be bitter at others. I'm going to be entirely honest. As I sat all alone last night at my table for hours and hours, the Lord also reminded me that 6 months ago, I allowed my feelings to get hurt. I allowed my feelings to get hurt by something my friend did. It's what she didn't do. What she didn't do. And I let myself build a case. And then step back. And step back. And just kind of wanted to shut the door. You know, and just lick my wounds. And you know, this is what the enemy does. When there's a scene, a story, a hurt, says, you wanna see that video again? Yeah. Click, 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 replay, replay, replay. Child to God, you just be done with that. You just be done with that. The enemy comes to rob, kill, and destroy. And the Lord called me on that about 2 weeks ago and just told me, Debbie, it's your turn. You just build a bridge and get over it. You just build a bridge and get over it. Say that with me. Build a bridge and get over it. You take the first step. And I did. And you know what? You know what? What? Everyone has their own drama they're going through. And maybe it's not her that should have been there for me. It's maybe me that should have been there for her. So we just need to take these things to God. And if we take them to him and honestly have an open heart, wanting him to help us navigate, to restore our peace, to restore our joy in his presence, all we have to do is ask God. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be the kind of first fruits of his creatures. We need to be living proof of what a Christian is like. Some years ago, I went through one of the hardest things I've ever gone through. And my family, seem so close to the gospel, so close to the things of the Lord. But my nephew, during that time, he came to me one day and he said, "You know what? I'm watching you walk through this, and I can see you have the peace of God." Peace of God. I'm going to close with just this story. James 1 again says, "Count it all joy." In 2011, Jeff Mutai won the Boston Marathon. Take note, Boston Marathon is 26.2 miles. He accomplished it in 2 hours and 3 minutes. Say that with me, 2 hours and 3 minutes. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon stated, "I have observed something under the sun. The fastest runner doesn't always win the race. And the strongest warrior doesn't always win the battle." It's good to know. In 1969, Bob Weiland lost both legs while trying to rescue a fallen buddy in Vietnam. He stepped on a mortar round designed to destroy a tank. Well, it took off both legs. A few days later, he sent a short note to his parents. "Dear Mom and Dad, I'm in the hospital. Everything's going to be okay. The people here are taking good care of me. Love, Bob. P.S. I lost both legs. I lost both legs." In 2003, Bob Weiland completed the Los Angeles Marathon, which is also 26.2 miles, in a little bit more time than 173 hours, using only his arms and his torso. The entire NFL, you know who they are, mighty men of valor, awarded Bob Weiland the title, the most courageous man in America. Woohoo! If God be for us, who can be against us? So, with me, could you just put a few of your burdens, your struggles, your trials in your hands? Maybe it's a prodigal son. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's somebody who wounded you in the past. Lord, we just put these things in your hands, God. We belong to you. God, we don't want these things to be the boss of us, or Satan to be the boss of us. Lord, we want to navigate with your voice, your wisdom, your grace, your strength, your courage, and your confidence. Lord, we want to trust you with all of our heart and stop leaning to our own understanding. And so, Lord, we just pray that we would navigate with your wisdom and the confidence that if you're for us, nothing's going to take us down. And we pray in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. God bless you.